roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
Oh my God! Look at all these people here! You're doing great! We got the music of champions going right now. You guys, let's meet our contestants. Please welcome to the stage. First, Mr. Bill Wallace. Bill Wallace. Right here. Bill Wallace. Right behind him, we have Edgar Granados. Edgar Granados, all the way from Venezuela. Thank you for being here. And in seat number one or three, depending on how you're counting it, please welcome to the stage, Jesse Jones. All right, you guys ready to play Stab? Yes? Okay. All right. This is fun. Welcome to Stab. Jesse Jones, thanks for coming to your 58th Stab show in a row. I don't know if you guys knew this, but Jesse Jones, inventor of the half handkerchief. Half of a handkerchief.
The hafferchief.
Hafferchief, yes.
I have no idea what that is, but I invented it apparently.
Thank you for doing that. we're going to go. Do you have a Twitter feed?
I do.
What is it?
At that Jesse Jones.
Okay.
There's a couple of them. So have to make sure that you know that it's that one.
In the middle there, we have Edgar Granados, who I will definitely call Edward Granados at some point. Because he's ethnic. I think.
That's nothing but a race thing between us.
Yes, it's all race war all the time. In fact, Edgar Granados invented the country of Granados. I don't know if you knew that. Is it a country or is it just?
Yeah, it's actually where they the big headquarters is for the plant that produces the halfkerchief.
Oh wow! Okay. Oh, good. Oh wow! I like that call.
Connections being made.
It's like a Seinfeld episode up in here. Bill Wallace, you could be my little brother. In fact, Bill Wallace invented little brothers. I didn't know if you knew that.
Yep. He did.
It's good.
And also something to do with a half-kerchief because it's funny. A lot
of mom fucking you've done.
I'm a motherfucker.
You are a mom fucker.
For shizzle. All
right, guys. this first segment, we're going to go ahead and start. It's called This Happened Once. Let's play Stab. Are we going to fix it? No. This segment's called This Happened Once. On this day, 1885, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain is presented to the United States. Also on this very date, 2001, seven-time NASCAR Sprint Cup Series champion Dale Earnhardt dies in an accident during the Daytona 500. How did you celebrate this shit in tandem?
Well, I decided to celebrate the anniversary of the publishing of Huckleberry Finn almost the same way I have for so many years, with a full stack of Huckleberry pancakes and a side of shark fin soup. Now, I know that sounds like a lot of work, but believe you me, it is. And I wasn't going to be paid for any of it, unless, of course, you count the sweet deliciousness of hot sugar-coated fried breads with broth reminiscent of a deep-sea delicatessen as payment, which I do. However, when I opened my recipe book, I was alarmed to find that all the ingredients that began with the letter N had been replaced with the word slave.
Whoa.
Which, if you ask me, seems much more offensive than just using the original ingredients. Instead of trying to cover up an important part of culinary history so that younger generations can be lied to and think that their great-grandfathers weren't constantly throwing around words in the kitchen like nutmeg and noodle. The heathens. Oh, yeah, and I don't really follow NASCAR, so on the way here, I just made lefts, and it took fucking hours.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So thanks.
Thank you, Bill. One more time for Bill. All right. Welcome. All right. Great job, Bill. Up next is Edgar Granados. How are you? You're doing good, Edgar?
Okay. I'm well. Thank you for asking and using my proper Roman Catholic name.
You're welcome. Edgar, on this date, 1930, Elm Farm Ollie becomes the first cow to fly in a fixed-wing aircraft. And also on... And also the first cow to be milked in an aircraft. Why not? You're up there, you know. You know what else happened? In 1564, Michelangelo, the Italian sculptor and painter, died. How did you celebrate these two things?
All right, well, John.
Off of each other.
I took the opportunity to visit the great dairy state of Wisconsin. Skipping entirely the state of Missouri, where this epoch-defining flight took place, so I could speak with the man behind the moo, Ellsworth W. Bunce, the first man to milk a cow in midair. He said, "We were up there with Sky Queen. You see, she got a nickname that day, Sky Queen, and I was thinking to myself, this can't be possible. But there I was, dropping carefully wrapped paper containers of milk with little parachutes attached to them." Riveting. After my conversation with Mr. Bunce, who managed to procure 24 whole quarts of milk over the 72-mile long flight, I decided it was time to get some music in my heart. So I went to the local opera house to catch the annual showing of Madame Butterfat, an entire opera in three acts, divinely inspired by that death-defying bovine, Elm Farm Ollie. And I'd like to close this segment, at least the Elm Farm Ollie part, with an excerpt from the Bovine Cantata in B-flat major. "Sing we praises of that moo cow, airborne once and evermore. Kindness, courage, butter, cream cheese, these fine things we can't ignore." I wish that I had written that, but that's... That was a real thing.
That really happened?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Delightful stuff. It's on YouTube.
Really?
That is, for the listeners, the Bovine Cantata in B-flat major. As for Michelangelo, I didn't even know that he was that old, or that cartoon characters could even die. So, this is, really devastating to me, because, I'm a huge Turtles fan. So in memoriam of such a righteous dude, I smoked some pot and got lost in the sewer with a pepperoni pizza.
Okay. Thank you, Edgar. Thank you. Jesse Jones, on this date, 1954, on the very same day, the first Church of Scientology is established in Los Angeles, and the American actor and producer John Travolta were born.
Mm-hmm.
Same day. Also on this very date, 1993, the Texas tornado, Kerry Von Erich. I expected a response.
Yeah.
Texas tornado, Kerry Von Erich, American wrestler, died by shooting himself in the heart. What did you do today?
Well, salutations, Jonathan. Thank you for the invitation to your Theta Trap this evening. I know a lot of you are N-theta. That's common for a degraded being living in first dynamic. Burdened with wrongness and misemotion. I know, we've all been there. Heck, when I started crossing the bridge to total freedom in AD 55, if some wog told me that my VBIs and N-mest were interpolating my tone arm, I would have not is his R factor. Am I right? This guy knows what I'm talking about. That was a crazy point on my time track. But tonight, if you demo this tech, I have a postulate that after a series of powerful line charge, we will unmock your every PTS. I shall serve as audit terminal for the raw meat in attendance this evening. I will outrun your BIs, eval your anchor points, and as is your VBIs, all by taking the valence of the source. Now, do not be mistaken. I do not claim beingness of LRH or the eighth dynamic. My hat will simply be to qual stable datum in order to invalidate your perceptic PTPs, to uptone your case gain, and set you on your own determinism.
Very good.
A lot of Scientology jargon. Is the main joke. And now, Now that having heard this much already, you will be unable to reject the teachings of L. Ron Hubbard, as I have shared them with you. I should know I tried. Prior to receiving this prompt, I had never delved into the truth that is Scientology, and at one point over the course of my readings, I did try to shoot myself in the heart to deny the source my Thetan being. But having quickly achieved OT level 8, my heart simply spat the bullet back out. And downstat me to the pre-clear grade 2 that you see before you today. So I'm sorry, and you're welcome. And please see me after the show tonight for your free stress test.
Very good, Jesse Jones.
That's mostly what I expected.
That was that was good. That was really good. That was really good. This was Today Once. This is Stab. This next segment is called the top five Google searches of this past month. Saturday Night Live turned 40 years old. What are the top five Google searches from the perspective of a 40-year-old SNL? The top five Google searches as if SNL could search Google. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Personification.
Okay, great. Well, we'll go ahead and start with Bill Wallace.
Am I doing all five at once?
Oh, we'll do one at a time, and we'll go through it, yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. My first one is how to break up with Kenan Thompson.
On a similar note, Chevy Chase's phone number.
First search. So yeah, what's Eddie's fucking problem?
Bill, number two.
Who's that hot blonde chick on me this season?
How to avoid affirmative action. For dummies.
That's Keenan.
Is there any coke left, or did Spade Belush it all?
Live sketch show mates.com.
The 3-minute sketch for dummies.
Hey, where are you guys? I thought we were splitting a ladyboy at Piscopo's.
Number four?
No. Did Mad TV die or something?
Miley Cyrus nudes.
Just because.
Oh, ignoring me? Really? Real fucking mature. Tell Aykroyd he looks like the guy who ate 2 Dan Aykroyds.
And number five.
Ashley Simpson lip sync 2005. Just because that happened.
Right. I remember.
Yeah. Hey, how's Jimmy Fallon doing? JK Miley Cyrus nudes.
And lastly, oh shit. Thought I was texting. Don't know how this new phone works. Undo?
Those were the top five Google searches of a 40-year-old Saturday Night Live. This next segment is called Reorganization. It's a fan favorite. If you'd like to play it, you can play it. I don't know if this is true. If you'd like to play it with us, we play it on Twitter at Stab Show, and we'll put some out. Why are you shaking your head, Bill?
I just don't believe that that's a real thing.
It's
that's
a real happening. Thing. It's really happening right
okay,
now.
Okay, cool.
Millions.
Awesome.
Millions Do of people then. Are playing it right now.
Do it.
We have... Okay. this segment's called Reorganization. Take this existing acronym and reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who does it now represent? Tonight's acronym, MMA. MMA. Bill?
MMA. My menstrual assistant. Having a hard time realizing that you're bleeding? I can't imagine that's the case. But if so, you're in luck. The new and improved MMA can now let you know when your disgusting hole of life is yet again about to start vomiting up potential human children. And now comes with a splash guard. That's right, splash guard. Wear those white shorts without worrying that by noon people will probably be asking you if your genitals were part of a murder-suicide. Win-win! That's only half of it, you guys. Ever forget to bring tampons with you? Gross, right? I know. Not to worry. Our new version of the MMA will automatically sense this and remove a part of your external clothing to fashion it into a homemade plug that will work until you get home and can fill it with what it's supposed to be filled with, shame. The MMA you already know and love is not lost. In fact, the new model has features you'll remember from your first model, like the talk feature that says things like, all I'm good for is cooking, or I'm here to serve you.
Whoa.
Call now. Call now and we'll continue to pay you 30% less than you deserve while only charging you 773 easy daily payments of just $19.95. Not that that means anything to you. Just have your husband buy it. Not married, probably because you're ugly. MMA.
All right. All right. Losing half the audience. But gaining the other half. We're going to move on to Edgar Granados. Your acronym was also MMA.
Okay. MMA stands for the Mega Mayan Apocalypse. Apparently, archaeologists uncovered a new stone, a bigger stone that actually dates the end of the world as being. When's your next kid's birthday? Actually, that's unrelated.
March.
I'm trying to fill my calendar on LinkedIn with events.
March.
March 8th.
March 8th.
I got it. The real apocalypse will happen January 20th, 2017, when Hillary Clinton is inaugurated as president of the United States. Yeah, I said it.
Whoa. Jesse Jones, bring us home with this segment. Your acronym, MMA.
Yes. MMA actually represents the three stages of the persistent club-going gentleman's quest for quick bathroom stall fellatio. Those being maybe, all right. The first M, maybe, indicates the polite brush-off of the initial harmless advance. A seed of thought planted by the gentleman with a playful, joking remark with their intended partner. After initial conversation, indicates potentially returned attraction. The second M, or maybe, occurs several hours into the evening, when the seemingly forgotten initial banter is brought up again, this time by the intended. At this point, careful regulation of the future alcohol intake of both parties is integral to reaching stage 3. The algebraic equation of which is represented as M times remaining drink over F plus hard ciders divided by time to last call, which equals A. All right. The answer to the 1:35 a.m. question, so you wanna?
There you go. That was reorganization. Guess what this still is? Stab. This next segment is called Movie Makeup. It's my personal favorite segment. Not really. Here's some movie titles we made up. Please give a synopsis based off the provided titles with cast. Bill Wallace, the name of your movie is called Pollywog Cocktees. Pollywog Cocktees. Let's see what you did with it.
Pollywog Cocktees. Accustomed to a simple life in the Australian outback in 1986, a legendary pollywog hunter has trouble adjusting to his new surroundings when an American journalist brings him to New York City. This Australian comedy delivers exactly what one would expect. Plenty of pollywog out of water gags about the hunter's reactions to the absurdities of modern urban life. Though he initially seems rather naive, Paul Hogan's Pollywog Cocktees soon demonstrates that his natural ways are well suited for city life, proving himself equally adept at defeating muggers and charming members of high society. Along the way, as one might expect, a romance develops between the rugged hunter and the hardened journalist, who finds herself enchanted by his down-to-earth behavior. The story of Pollywog Cocktease is not particularly original, but the film's good-natured humor proved extremely palatable to audiences, as indicated by its worldwide box office success. Pollywog Cocktease.
Very good. Who played the love interest?
I can't remember that chick's name. Does anybody remember that chick's name from Crocodile Hunter? Crocodile Dundee?
No.
Me either.
No.
But I got Paul Hogan, though.
You did get Paul Hogan. Nicole Kidman. She's Australian, yeah. Right?
It
wasn't Nicole Kidman, but she's Australian.
Let's just call it Kidman.
How about, all right, everyone, let's name Australian actors.
Drew Barrymore's character in Charlie's Angels was Australian.
Okay, we'll take that. We'll take that. Yeah. Edgar. The name of your movie is called Oh Ponytail.
I read it a little differently.
Okay.
Oh Ponytail.
Oh, okay.
It's a tear-jerking drama based on the life of Robert Catskeed, played by Russell Brand, a 33-year-old man that refuses to part ways with his ponytail. Join us in following Robert through the daily hurdles of living life on the fringes of society. Watch as he struggles to make work friends at FedEx Kinko's. Be inspired by the amazing cast of characters that make up his support group, starring Denzel Washington as guy who introduces himself as a high-ranking druid in World of Warcraft. That one hit home. Keira Knightley as adult lesbian that doesn't know she is gay, and that's why she's kind of a bitch. But you know,
whoa,
you don't blame it. It's not her fault. And Danny DeVito as mom.
All right.
This heartwarming tale of finding acceptance in the face of society that's moved on, like way, way on, will have you saying, "Is that a chick? Oh, ponytail."
Very good, Edgar. Thank you very much. You can clap for him if you like. I don't know. This final part to this segment, Jesse Jones, the name of your movie is called No, You're Janet. No, You're Janet.
Yeah.
You are Janet.
I am. Well, everybody might be. I don't know.
Okay.
After Mid-Central High's principal, Heaps, fires the girls' basketball coach for yet another 0-16 season, she decides to make the last day of school one that all the students will never forget. Using an ancient gypsy curse handed down by the women of her family for 14 generations, Coach Fifika, Meryl Streep slumming it for a paycheck, taps all of the school's drinking fountains with the power to grant the drinkers the ability to swap bodies with anyone else who drank from the same fountain. And before lunch, the whole campus is caught up in the hijinks, exploring each other's student bodies inside and out. And in! In this throwback to those Porky-style teen sex romps. But then when all the peekaboo grab-ass dies down, everybody's left with the same realization. The last one stuck in gothy outcast Janet Mournful Sorry D'Angelo's body loses. From the producers who thought that it's been too long since there'd been a good body-switching comedy in theaters, and the studio that was somehow convinced that that was true, it's No, You're Janet. Rated PG-13 for suggestive teen grinding, lascivious janitor, and just enough uses of the word titties to keep it from being an R.
That was movie makeup. That was movie makeup. This is a show we call Stab. This next segment is called Write a Poem About It, except we changed it to Write a Fragrant Poem About It.
Yeah.
just go with whatever fragrant means to you guys. Bill, you're given the prompt to write a fragrant poem about Jell-O shots. Edgar, you were given baggy pants. And Jesse Jones, you were given the Doobie Brothers. We're going to start with Bill Wallace with his fragrant poem in regards to Jell-O shots.
Okay, yeah. So this is about Jello shots. I didn't know that it was supposed to be fragrant. I guess I just skipped over that word. But I'll add it in as I go.
Thank you.
Sleep like you've never slept before. Sleep, I said. Sleep. Just close your eyes and sleep away the bad days. Count sheep and sleep. The clouds will take you away. Away to a place where nothing that smells bad can happen to you. a magical place where unicorns and centaurs live. I made this liquid, you smell? It's still a liquid, but if you go to sleep now, when you wake up, I will have raped you. # Bill Cosby.
Whoa. Okay. All right. Wait for it.
It said Jell-O.
I see what you did there.
I didn't even... It's really good in retrospect. Very good. Edgar Granados.
People forget, Jell-O makes pudding pops, too.
That's right. There's always room for Jell-O.
All right.
Baggy pants.
Baggy pants. New like, okay. This is a slam poem about baggy pants. Yo, bag man, pant man, where'd you get them pockets? Rockets, red flare, Peruvian glare, I'm ensnared. I smell that fragrant aroma. You got some weed to put me in a coma. And I will smoke it and toke it and poke it till it's ash. And then we having a good old bash. Don't throw that time in the trash. Just whiplash. Because we going quick like a hurricane, tornado style. Down to the corner in the alley where I give you $20 and you give me a baggie of some weed.
Okay. I'm not sure if you had that memorized or you just made it up. Either way.
Art is difficult to explain, John.
I'm impressed. Either way. I'm impressed. Edgar, yeah. Clap for him. Do what that lady's doing. Or snap for him. Clap or snap. Jesse Jones. The
yeah.
Doobie Brothers. Please have written a fragrant poem in regards to the Brothers Doobie.
Sure. Well, I wrote it, so I guess I have... Yeah. Well, the Doobie Brothers have actually been struggling to recapture some of their late 70s relevance recently. With their most recent album, Southbound, just released a few months ago, it didn't really have the impact they were hoping. It did, however, open other doors. For example, they just reunited with former frontman Michael McDonald and were hired to write a few jingles for TV commercials, one of which I actually have here for Dawn dish soap.
Let's hear it.
God damn it. Dawn detergent makes dishes clean. It's gentle on hands. So many fresh scents. Mediterranean lavender. New Zealand springs. Thai dragon fruit. See how your silverware shines. Put thoughts of hard water stains from your mind. Dishwashing liquid is at its best. 40 cents off when you buy two or more at participating stores. Walgreens, CVS, and
Rite Aid,
Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, and Walmart stores, and so many more. Gotta see to believe just how few spots Dawn liquid leaves.
Is there more?
That is
Please
it.
Please tell me there's more. All right.
No, that is mercifully it. God damn it.
Thank you for putting yourself out there. That was really great. All right. This brings us to the final segment of this show, Don't Leave Fuckers, called Department of Tourism. Gentlemen, you guys have just been hired as your new city's tourism directors. Make us want to come to your city, please. Bill Wallace, the name of your town is Drowned Town. Drowned Town? Drowned Town?
Drowned Town.
Make us want to come to Drowned Town.
I really don't think that's possible, but... Drowned Town is one of the largest, yet one of the least visited regions in all of Africa. Although varying ongoing conflicts means that much of this place is off limits, travel is still possible in the northeast and in parts of the south. Much of the Middle East and Africa has a reputation for warmth and hospitality, but Drowned Town is in a league of its own, making it a joy to travel in. Oh, yeah. Also, they drown people there. A lot of people get drowned. Strong swimmers are encouraged to lead groups in water activities. I'm going to come clean. The first three or four sentences of this part, for me at least, was taken directly from the Board of Tourism site for Sudan, which is a real thing. You guys can check it out. I figured it would just be about as easy to get people to visit Sudan as it is to visit Drowned Town. But, I mean, you know, and then I was also going to, like, list off a bunch of celebrities who have drowned. But then I had to, like, I'd have to say things like Poet Hart Crane or Whitney Houston or Whitney Houston's daughter. Oh. Is it too soon for Whitney Houston's daughter?
No.
You know why they never tell jokes until the appropriate amount of time has passed for the general public to be comfortable with the content? Drowned Town! Come on down and get drowned, you sad excuse for a human being. Am I happy yet?
Thank you, Bill Wallace. Thank you. All right, moving on to Edgar Granados. The name of your town is Condescending Therapistville. Make us want to come to Condescending Therapistville.
Thank you, John.
Mm-hmm.
The unexamined life is not worth living, Plato says in line 38A of The Apology. I'm assuming you haven't read it. But in order to do so properly, one would really need the kind of work ethic that doesn't find themselves reading pamphlets at a fake tourism kiosk that I'm putting in the Arden Fair Mall. Now, wouldn't they? So come down to Condescending Therapistville, where our illustrious panel of certified therapists are prepared to listen to all of your super important problems, because of course they're there, honey. You didn't have as many opportunities as we did. That's okay. We even included a map on the back of this pamphlet, even though everyone and their dead uncle has access to Google Maps. Once you find our location, you'll be greeted to attractions such as It's a Living, where you spend a day in the life of a condescending therapist, shopping for groceries alone, listening to podcasts while exercising, and eating ice cream in the dark are just a few of the thrills awaiting you. When you have a chance, make sure to stop by the gift shop and treat yourself to it. All right, you guys know what a gift shop is. You simply must know. What a gift shop. If you don't picture it by now, I can see why Roy left you. Call today for a reverse advance invitations. Thank you.
Very good, Edgar Granados. Thank you. Great job. Edgar and Bill, do you guys still put that show on together, or did you break
up?
Yes. Okay, you do.
Yes.
They put on a show in their front room.
Studio apartment.
Yes, in my front room.
In his only room.
In the foyer.
It is fun. Yeah. In the kitchen.
It's a kitchenette. Get it right.
The kitchen next to your bed. A kitchenette.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th, 10:30 p.m., 1321 East Street, apartment number 2.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's every other Friday at my apartment. It's called Studio OMG. Studio OMG.
And then I see what happened.
You can see how much fun we have already.
Yeah, that's good. So, good job. Thank you guys for being here. Jesse Jones, this is the last segment of the show. Mm-hmm. Make us want to come to Jesse Jonesopolis. Jesse Jonesopolis.
Well, opening file, Jesse Jonesopolis, blueprints and city incorporation documents .pdf. Last modified, January 21st, 1998, 3:18 a.m. Are you sure you want to move file, Jesse Jonesopoulos, Blueprints and City Incorporation Documents.pdf, to folder Unfinished Projects? Unable to move file, Jesse Jonesopoulos, Blueprints and City Incorporation Documents.pdf, to folder Unfinished Projects. Folder is too full. Are you sure you want to delete file, Jesse Jonesopoulos, Blueprints and City Incorporation Documents.pdf? Saving file, Jesse Jonesopoulos, Blueprints and City Incorporation Documents.pdf, to folder Top Priority, Seriously, I Mean It. Please choose which program you would like to open file Jesse's Jerk Mix 96-02.avi.
Thank you, I think. Hey guys, that's the end of Stab. This segment anyway, check us out at Stab Show or go to our website, stabforthenumbergold.com, Stab for Gold.
Do we get an opportunity to do plugs?
Yeah, plug away.
Like,
go ahead.
I'd like to plug the Pee-wee's Playhouse has just got on Netflix streaming. You guys should definitely check that out.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's good.
Also, season 3 of House of Cards is really dope.
I'd like to just say that I'll be living in my car starting next Thursday.
Okay.
And if anyone wants to give me a couch or a room, I'm good at blowjobs. Getting blowjobs.
Hey! Studio MG every other Friday. Come on.